He sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. This probably is one of the most popular stories from the Bible. Not only this is popular, but it's important. And all four of the gospel writers record this story in their gospels. And I can see why. It's a beautiful story. I think it has a beautiful setting. It happens on a lake shore, a mountainside, and we are told that there were plenty of grass. And there's a great crowd of people following Jesus. Not just a few people, but thousands of people coming to see our Jesus and to hear from him. And I think that's what we want to see even this day. And to make the story more interesting, there is a boy, a child, who is willing to give his small lunch to Jesus to feed 5,000 people. I think there is a reason why this story is well-loved throughout the history. From the story, we learn that God not only cares for our spiritual needs, but our physical needs as well. We learn that our small dedication to God results in miraculous ways in His hands. And we learn that all these people now trust Jesus even more, and they are ready to follow him. Interestingly, in Matthew and Mark and Luke, the story pretty much ends here. But only in John, it almost feels like this story is functioning only as an introduction to what's to come, or part one of the whole story. Now in verses 14 and 15, we read, "After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.' And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." I think it's a strange ending for such a beautiful story. Jesus had to physically leave the place, flee away from the people. After this miracle that Jesus himself initiated and had performed, and it has resulted in people confessing he is the prophet who is to come. And I think Jesus was about to become a superstar or a person with great influence. And his ministry was about to expand to different regions and to more people. At the verge of all this happening, he chose to run away from the people. Why? We learned that people were excited and going to make Jesus their king, even by force. The people that were impressed by how Jesus had solved their problem of what to eat and how to live wanted to make him their king. And what's wrong with that? Jesus knew that it was not the will of God, at least not this way. And he knew what their motivations were. And we came to our passage for today. I read it one more time. The next day, the crowd had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake, realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus has not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. People were just so excited. Even the day after, they were still looking for Jesus. They couldn't just let him go. They pursued him to the other side of the lake. And finally there, they find him. And they ask, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" They knew there was only one boat. And when the disciples were leaving when they were leaving from the other side of the lake, they were sure that Jesus wasn't with them. So they are now asking, "How did you come across the lake without any boat? Have you done it again? The miracle?" And people are once again expecting Jesus to say something unexpected. All the people who were there yesterday when Jesus was feeding them, and those who were on the other side of the lake, who heard of the news of what happened. And to all these people expecting Jesus to say something again, Jesus says, "You are looking for me for a wrong reason." And he says, "You are looking for bread, not me." People who did not know Jesus are now willing to follow him. People are willing to make him their king. Isn't that what we want to see, even in our time too? But Jesus says, "You are here not because you saw God in my actions, but because you were fed for free. You are here because of the loaves, not because of me." And I remember what God said when he said, "People look at the outside, but Lord looks at the heart." And Jesus continues to say, "Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." What does he call the food that everyone was so after? What does he call the food that not someone else, but he himself has provided? He calls it food that spoils, that perishes. Instead, work for the food that endures to eternal life, the food that I give you, Jesus says. Now they had a lot of questions. I invite you to read with me as we go over the rest of the chapter. In verses 28 and on, then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answers, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Believe in the one God has sent. Believe in me. That's the work of God. Jesus is saying, whatever work you do is for food that spoils. But believing in me will give you eternal life. So they ask him again, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do again? And they say, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. The people of Israel, Jews at the time, they were actually waiting for the new manna, the second manna. And they believed that the new Messiah will give them the new manna. So they are saying to Jesus, show us the sign that you are the Messiah that we have been waiting for by giving us the new manna, by providing us the new food, by dealing with our problems in our lives. But Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us that bread. Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has demonstrated himself to us in many different ways, different metaphors. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But even more than any other ways, any other metaphors, Jesus reveals himself to us as the bread of life. In verses 47 and on, he says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they all died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In my Bible, in my Korean Bible, it says, I am the rice cake of life. I am the living rice cake that came down from heaven. Apparently, Bible has been translated into Korean before bread was introduced. I am the bread of life. I am the rice cake of life, that you may eat and not die. Whoever eats will live forever. When Jesus says he is our bread of life, he's not just saying, out of all the food that you can have, the food I give you is better. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, out of all the food that you can work for, the food I give you is the best. He's not saying that. He is saying, I am the only food that gives life. You just don't have food that gives you life. You don't have water that gives you life. Whatever manna your ancestors ate, they have died. Whatever water they have drank at Mara, they have died. Things that you desire, things that you work hard for, things that make you happy when you have and resentful when you don't, won't make you live. Our best is food that spoils. With all our lives, with the best that we can do, all that we can accumulate and enjoy in this life is food that spoils, that perishes. I'm sure you understand that I'm not saying the food we eat is not important. It is very important. And that's why our God cares for our needs. After all, it was Jesus who first said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He knows that we need bread. He knows our needs and He cares. He teaches us to pray for our daily bread, and He provides our daily bread. But more importantly, He becomes the bread of life for us. He heals our sickness, but more importantly, He forgives our sins and becomes our Savior. He knows we fish for living. He knows that we work for living. But more importantly, He calls us to be fishers of men. He teaches us to give water to those who are thirsty. But more importantly, the river of the water of life flows out from Him. This is the sad ending of the beautiful story that we have read today. In verse 42, they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" In verse 52, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And in verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I do pray that God will continue to provide me and my family and us with food that spoils. I do hope and pray that all of us here will experience and be able to testify to others that our God provides. I pray that we get to experience those moments when God really provides for our need. It is my prayer that in our lives there will be baskets of leftovers from the overflowing blessing of God. However, I pray that we will never forget that's just food that spoils. However much it tastes good, However much it looks gorgeous, however much it makes us happy, I pray that we'd never forget that it's not our bread of life. I also pray that our church would be a place like that lakeshore, that mountainside, where Jesus fed the 5,000. I want our church, and I pray our church, to be resourceful, that we can feed those who are hungry and need our help. I pray that our church to have a great crowd of people. However, I pray more than anything that our church, New West CRC, would be a place where the bread of life is broken and shared. I pray that whenever the Mosaic group meets, or any other group, and when we share the food, which is great, that we will also be eating the bread of life together. I pray that anyone who enters this building and who joins our community will not only be given hospitality or friendship or sense of belonging, but life, everlasting life, that only comes from Jesus. In verse 66, when many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him, Jesus asked the disciples, in verse 67, "You do not want to leave too, do you? You do not want to leave too, do you?" Let this answer of Simon Peter be our answer and our prayer. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen.